fake crises. Yes, you heard me. Fake crisis. It's a fake crisis. The entire nation is consumed with a completely fake crisis. Republicans, Republican terrorists holding the country hostage to their fake, completely phony, entirely made up crisis that everybody in this nation has to give a damn about because they say so and because they don't give a damn about this country. Hey, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Truth Seekers. It is I, Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com. Once again, drafted into duty here to be the broadcast media, because God knows someone needs to. Anyway, broadcasting live tonight from the left coast, the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 out here in Los Angeles. Glad you could join us. Mike Malloy is, off the grid. He's not off the grid, but he's winging his way out towards Seattle, or will be soon, where he'll be participating in a Progressive Voices conference with a bunch of other Progressive radio folks. I think Randy Rose is going. Is Stephanie going, Tone? Do you know? You're not working on her show this week, right? So then she's probably here. Okay. So Stephanie's not invited. There you go. Anyway, I'm going to be with you here tonight, tomorrow night, and Monday night. And I hope that's okay with you. I hope it's okay with me. Given the day that I had, you can tell by just the opening. Oh, I'm a little, I don't know how to put it. I'm a little angry. Maybe I'll tell you why in a moment. I will be joined, as I was saying about the debt crisis, we have to talk about it. Who wants to? I don't, because it's fake. It's phony. But we have to talk about it. And to that end, I'm told we're going to have a scoop on this. Some breaking news shortly when I am joined by Howie Klein from Down With Tyranny. He's going to be joining us, and I will be taking your calls, if I can, throughout that conversation with Howie and for the rest of the night. So jot this down, because you're going to want it today, tomorrow, Monday, to use your public airwaves before you lose them more than you already have. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Write it down and keep it nearby, and I would like to hear from you. And by the way, this is the one time for you right wingers out there. I know that Mike doesn't like to hear from you. He doesn't like to talk to the flying monkeys. I loves me some flying monkeys. So fly on in anytime you like, right wingers, and we'll see how much we can tolerate you. Although, you know, the thing is, if we continue the direction this country is going, where everybody goes to, you know, pick a side. You go to the left, go to the right. There ain't no in between. There ain't no talking between the two parties. We're going to get nowhere. This is going to get worse. This is going to get insane, as if it is not already. So to that end, I do enjoy hearing from folks on the right, because so many of them are so terribly misinformed. I always try to do my best, as folks know who have heard me sitting in for Mike Malloy before, I always try to do my best to inform the listeners and to inform the confused callers. So it's not confused. To inform the misinformed callers. So if you are a misinformed right-wing caller and you think you are a informed right-wing caller, of course, feel free to call in 877-520-1150. Not right this moment, because I got some business to get out of the way, and we're going to have Howie here, who let me know. He sent me an email just before showtime saying that he's got some breaking news. And if it doesn't get out before quarter after, we'll be able to break it here right here on the Mike Malloy Show. He had heard from a congressman. I don't know if I'm allowed to say who it was. So we'll find out with some breaking news concerning this fake debt ceiling crisis. Okay? Okay, there you go. That's going to come up straight ahead after the next break. We will have Howie on. We will find out what that big news is. You can also stop by. Oh, wait a minute. It's not that big of a scoop. Oh, it's not that big of a scoop, says Howie. And it's very inside baseball. That's what he tweets to me. Oh, great. Thanks, Howie. now that you made me go. Okay, so we've got a lousy scoop coming up, and it's very inside baseball, so nobody here is going to understand it. But you can look forward to that coming up with Howie Klein shortly. You can also stop by our chat room at bradblog.com, where our friend For Earth is currently holding the gate open for all of you folks. Come on by. Go to bradblog.com. The first item there, there's a chat room. Well, you click through it, and you'll get to the chat room and come say hello. The lovely Desi Doyen will also be in that chat room once she wrestles her computer to the ground, I think. So you can say hello to her there. She may be joining us later as well on this program. Also, we'll be joined by Eric Bullard, because you know what? Rupert Murdoch is still not dead. Let me repeat that. Rupert Murdoch is still not dead. That despite what you might have read on his own newspaper's website, The Sun, which said Rupert Murdoch, his body was found, Mogul's body was found. Well, that was not true. And while we're used to Rupert Murdoch's websites printing things that are not true, in this case, it wasn't his fault. It was hackers. Hackers took over The Sun and said that Rupert Murdoch was found dead. But that's not true. What is true, however, is that the whistleblower at the center of the News of the World hacking scandal, he was found dead. Tony's looking at me. He's like, yeah. This is right. You know, it's as if somebody knew I was coming on the Mike Malloy show. Oh, let's have a whistleblower die. Brad's coming on. So the whistleblower was found dead in his London flat earlier this week. The man who first exposed the hacking that was going on at the News of the World. In any case, we're going to be talking about that and the ensuing Murdocalypse, or shall we say News Corpse. With Eric Bullard of Media Matters a little bit later. Actually, I prefer the hashtag that I like that nobody's going to understand on Twitter. Karmageddon. Does it make any sense to you, Tone? You don't get it. No. All right. Never mind. You can reach me on the Twitters, too, at TheBradBlog. That's who I am over there. Okay, have I gotten all the business out of the way? I must have. I'll tell you, the reason I started off this show ranting. I'm going to try to get it out of my system because A, I am exhausted. I was up until 3 a.m. working on the second part of a series of exclusives that I've been working on for weeks that I can't tell you about yet. But trust me, they're hot, hot exclusives coming your way as soon as possible, but maybe now a little bit later because I was up until 3 a.m. working on this thing. This part of the series of this article was a 5,000-word article, and somehow in my exhaustion, I managed to save over it, and it went away. Which is what I learned about an hour or two before showtime. And I'm absolutely heartbroken and sad and angry. And frankly, tonight, if I don't shout, I may cry. So we will start from scratch on that at some point, and you will get to see this very hot exclusive. And unlike Howie Klein, who had a big scoop, and then he says, oh, it's not that big. Well, this one is a big scoop. But now you're just going to have to wait for it. So I'm going to tease you like that. And maybe I'll give you some more hints as the show goes on, or maybe tomorrow. Who knows? Tune in. Find out. Okay. I'm not happy about it. Did I mention that? Okay. We'll see, though. Maybe if the gods are with us, and why would they be? I'll have part one of this hot exclusive for you by next Monday. When I'll be finishing up here on the Malloy Show. We'll see. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with Howie Klein. We're going to get his not that big of a scoop, and it's very inside baseball. And then we're going to find out just how far these Republicans are willing to go, these terrorists are willing to go. You know, I want to tell them, do it. Do it. You want to destroy this country? You want to take down everything? So that you can gain power, because you think this is going to help you gain power. You know what? I'd love to tell them, do it. Go for it. Make my day. Idiots. I have a feeling it's going to be a big show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned. Much more straight ahead. Told them you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. The boys are- Yeah. Well done, Tony. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Yeah, that's where I am. Welcome back. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for the traveling Mike Malloy. Glad you could join us. Howie Klein is going to be joining us momentarily here, and the phones are already starting to fill up concerning debt, this phony debt ceiling fake crisis. So if you want to get in line to talk to Howie Klein, who I think, when I need to know something about Congress, when I need to know what people are thinking, what's going on inside Congress, the guy who knows more about the ins and outs of what these congressmen are thinking and women are thinking, I go to Howie Klein. 877-520-1150 is our number. I already see we got somebody who may be a right-winger, because waiting online, who says he's mad at Grover Norquist. That'll be interesting. So Ray from Ohio, hang on the line. We're going to get to you one way or to other, probably after the next break, concerning this comment from Grover Norquist, which we do have on tape, which is very interesting. And I suspect I will talk to Howie about that as well, who now joins me. Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com to tell me what the hell is going on in D.C. with this fake debt ceiling crisis, because frankly, I can't stand to watch it. Even if I wasn't exhausted and working on something that matters, I still wouldn't want to watch it. But anyway, let's find out. Hey, Howie, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show,
sir. Good to be back. In fact, I just came back from Nepal, so really good to be back.
Oh, really? How long ago was that? How long were you?
I've just been back for about a week.
And oh, okay.
I'm more caught up with myself, no more jet lag, and feeling great.
Good, good. Well, welcome back. Glad you made it back safely. And glad you've been able to follow this stuff, because I also, by the way, was off for a few days in the mountains last week. Thought I might have missed something important. Came back and found out, you know what? The same crap is going on. So first, should we hit this not very big scoop that you have told us is not very big?
What I said, it was a mini scoop, and it is a mini scoop.
Okay.
But people who follow this stuff, it might be a big deal. I don't mean to tease anybody, but I'll explain it in a second.
Okay.
You really hit the nail on the head when you defined this whole thing as the fake man-made crisis. That's really what it is. And it really has to do with the horror of our political elites. I mean, the Republicans are acting like, you know, like spoiled brats. If they can't get their way, they'd rather burn down the whole house.
Yep.
And Obama is I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to come across as the adult in the room. Whether he is trying to be the adult in the room, I don't know. I literally don't know. Now, you said you don't want to watch this, and yesterday, if you would have watched it, literally watched it on CNBC, you would have seen the two sides of the way to look at this. One was Ed Schultz, who is as angry about this as you and I are, and he was just going. He's on the verge of just, like, you know, really becoming an Obama hater if he hasn't already crossed into that.
Right.
And he was just, you know, tearing Obama apart. You know, why are you putting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid on the table with these crazy Republicans, and he was just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then
as well, he should be, by the way,
was talked to by the same person from the administration who talked to me. One of my friends who works in the administration gave me a call, and he said, "Don't go crazy on this, because I can't tell you all the reasons, but Obama is not going to get behind this stuff." Now, if you watched Lawrence O'Donnell, and mm-hmm. I put the video of him talking about it on my blog today. He says that Obama knew all along that the Republicans would never go for a reasonable plan that included tax increases, and that he knew he was in no danger of ever having to do anything that was going to jeopardize Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid.
Believe
that or not?
Yeah.
You know, and I don't even know if I can believe it or not. I mean, you know, I hear Bernie Sanders, and I know I can believe Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders seems to have had it up to here with Obama, and he's going nuts on it. Now,
Howie, hang on a second. So you have all of these progressive folks in Congress, Bernie Sanders and so forth, saying that they are furious at the president, and then you got Lawrence O'Donnell saying, "Oh, the President Obama knows exactly what he's doing. This has been the game all along. He's essentially calling their bluff." Is that what we're saying here?
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, the progressives in Congress aren't ready to denounce President Obama. None of them are doing that. You know, I mean, Kucinich came close, but he isn't there yet either. But Ed Schultz is not in Congress, and he's been a little bit closer. And it was just ironic that, you know, they were practically back-to-back last night with their different interpretations mm-hmm. of it on MSNBC. Now, what the Progressive Caucus did, the two leaders of the caucus, Raul Grijalva and Keith Ellison, is they wrote a letter to Nancy Pelosi. And they wrote it about a week and a half ago, and it's now got. And we're coming close to the scoop, by the way.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to
coming close to the mini scoop.
Yeah, and it's coming close to the break.
Not a mini scoop.
Coming, Howie, hang on. It's coming close to a break as well. So I think we're going to have to tease that mini scoop just a little bit longer, unless you got 15 seconds of setup before we go to a break. Up to you.
Okay. Well, the letter itself is a letter to Nancy Pelosi, and it says that the undersigned will not vote for this deal, this gang of six deal that jeopardizes Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid.
Is that the scoop?
No, that you told me to tease it.
Okay, good tease then. you're getting to be good at this, Howie. All right, Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com with a mini scoop on the debt ceiling concerning this letter to Grijalva and all kinds of other stuff. Coming up right after that, Brad on Mike Malloy. As you can tell, we're playing really good showdown music to underscore this really fake debt ceiling crisis that the Republicans are forcing the nation to go through, because apparently these Republicans hate the nation, and they think that this is a smart thing to do politically or something. Anyway, I don't know. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny with what he calls a mini scoop concerning the upcoming or the ongoing fake debt ceiling crisis that is going on. Okay, Howie. Oh, and by the way, if you're on the lines, hang on there. We will be talking about this Grover Norquist comment, which is, I think, pretty remarkable and actually could change the whole texture for this fake fight, but we'll talk about that in a moment. All right, so we've got Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com. Before we went to the break, he said that Raul Grijalva of Arizona, congressman from Arizona, and a couple of others. Keith Ellison, good, from Minnesota, sent a letter last week to Nancy Pelosi, Speaker Nancy Pelosi, correct?
Yes, and okay. The letter basically said, you know, that they agree with Pelosi when she said, we are not going to balance the budget on the backs of America's seniors, women, and people with disabilities, and that we do not support cuts in benefits for vital safety net programs.
Mm-hmm.
We completely agree. That's a paragraph in the letter. They then go on to say that they will not vote for any grand bargain that includes cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and that must be off the table. The as of today, as of about an hour ago, they had 80 Democrats, including one Blue Dog, who signed on to this to this letter. So there are 80 people who will not vote for say they will not vote for Obama's grand bargain.
Now, it
includes those kinds of cuts.
Will that mean, by the way, that if those 80 stick to that, what are the numbers like? Are there still more than enough?
With the Republicans who won't vote for it, the teabaggers,
right?
That's going to put it's going to make it very, very, very difficult for Obama, if not impossible. Now, if it just stayed at 80, and here now we get into that little mini scoop. If it just stayed at 80, it might not do the trick.
Mm-hmm.
However, it is going to go beyond 80, it did. I mean, today when I woke up, it was at like 77.
Right.
And then, you know, a couple of Dale Kilday came in, and then that new guy from New Orleans who just got elected, he came in, so that brought it to 80. However, and here's what you've been calling the scoop.
Right.
But I said called a mini scoop.
All right. Okay, it's a mini scoop. All right.
The head. of the Congressional Black Caucus mm-hmm. and the head of the Asia-Pacific America Caucus mm. have both agreed this evening to sign on as representatives of their caucuses and have promised that they will whip their rank-and-file members and try to get them to all sign on as well. That's going to be worth some more votes, probably quite a few more votes.
How many, as a best guess then, how many votes will that mean from those two caucuses?
I suspect it'll go over 100.
So it goes over 100 who say they will not, Democrats who say they will not balance the budget on the backs of the poor, they will not make cuts or substantial cuts to Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
They will not make cuts to it. Now, that doesn't mean that they're against changes. I mean,
right.
almost every one of the ones I speak to says they're enthusiastic about changes. They want changes to strengthen it. They want changes to make it a better program. But they don't want to see our cutbacks to recipients who are dependent on this stuff for their lives. I mean, Bernie Sanders has been the most outspoken person and the most eloquent in explaining that, and he does it almost every day on someone's TV show or radio show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they do not want to see elderly, and the most vulnerable people in our society wind up, you know, because, you know, to these wealthy people who, I mean, they're almost half the members of Congress are millionaires, and to them they think, well, what's $1,000 a year? It's nothing. But to someone who's struggling
sure.
and getting by in their later years where they're not going to be investing money in the future
uh-huh.
and they're not going to be finding a job in the future, people who are 80 years old, and they're eking out a living at $15,000 or $16,000 a year, you take away $1,000
sure.
from them, that's a lot of money.
Of course it is. So what
you're not gonna get these Republican or Democratic millionaires to understand that. They don't get that. And that's my whole premise that I've been trying to talk about it down with tyranny all the time, is that our whole political system is run by these elites that are just so out of touch with America that I just don't know how we're going to get rid of them and how we're going to we almost have to get rid of them and start all over again, because I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, it is just a mess now. The Republican Party is entirely over the cliff. The Democratic Party is rapidly following them over the cliff. They these people, I mean, even Obama, we had so much hope for this guy, even those of us who knew that his voting record was very conservative as a Democrat. We had so much hope that he was going to be an inspiring figure, and people were saying, oh, he's going to be like the next FDR and things like that. Well, no, he was like the next Hoover. I don't want to get in a fight with a bunch of Obama bots now. But
and don't get me started as well for the moment on Obama. But let me just, Howie Klein, do these numbers here real quick. So you got...
It's hard to do the numbers because we don't know how many over 100 it's going to be.
No, I understand,
you
but let me...
is putting the hammer down with Wall
okay.
Street. They brought in a bunch of Wall Street big shots, financiers, to the Hill to talk to the Republican freshmen, i.e. the teabaggers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically telling them, you know, they're trying to say, you know, you're going to throw the economy over the cliff, and we're going to you know, crash the economy. It's going to be irretrievable. And they're telling them this, and they're threatening that they're not going to finance them, and they're threatening them in every way that they can. So we don't know how many of these Republicans are going to stick to their guns and oppose this deal, and we don't know how many above 100 Grijalva and Ellison are going to be able to bring in.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. Well, we've got let's call it for now 100 who say they won't vote for the type of cuts that Obama has been saying that he would like to include here. Whether he means it or not, we don't know. But so you got about 100 or so there,
and we have 80, and the Republicans claim they have 80.
That's what I was going to say. On the other side, it's 80. So to thread that needle, it's not just Obama that needs to do it; it's Boehner that needs to do it to get enough votes. And then all of this has to somehow be approved over in the Senate, where a single person can hold up the entire damn thing with a filibuster, you know, requiring a supermajority to put it down. This seems to me to be an impossible needle to thread at this point, bringing us to, just nothing more. Two choices, Howie. Either one, they just do a clean vote to raise the debt ceiling the way they have. The way they have year after year after year, the way they did seven different times during the Bush administration when Republicans didn't give a damn, you know, back before they decided they were the terrorists who needed to take down the country. Or Nothing happens. And we do have the collapse that, you know, legitimate people are predicting. So one of the other...
$2.5 billion was taken out of the stock market this week by people basically who are afraid that a collapse is coming and they'll lose their investments.
Now, Grover Norquist sort of threw a potential lifeline to some of these Republicans, I think. Howie, have you heard this tape yet? I'm going to play it here real quick.
I read it. I didn't hear
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah, Grover Norquist, and he's the guy who actually, you know, speaking of holding people hostage, he's held every single Republican virtually in both chambers hostage to this tax pledge that they have signed, this anti-tax pledge that includes not just raising taxes, but, you know, if you take a subsidy, if you take millions of dollars away from an oil company, that, in Grover Norquist's mind, is raising taxes.
He used to say that.
He has been saying that, has he not, until today? Okay, right. Until today. So, you know, virtually every Republican has said that. No, we can't take away a subsidy because that's a raising a tax. We can't let the Bush tax cuts expire because that's raising a tax. You can't, close the corporate loophole because that's raising a tax. However, in a meeting with the Washington Post editorial board today, Grover Norquist said, and it's quite surprising, actually, that letting the Bush tax cuts expire, which, by the way, if you let them expire, it pretty much wipes out our deficit entirely. That letting the deficit, the Bush tax cuts expire, would not be considered a broken tax pledge like the ones the Republicans have signed at Grover's bequest.
180 degree switcheroo for Grover.
Huge. Let me play this. This is edited down to about a minute here to give you an idea. This is Grover Norquist answering this question directly with the Washington Post.
Not continuing a tax cut is not technically a tax increase.
So it does not violate the pledge?
We wouldn't hold it that way. A lot of the guys on the Hill do.
Oh, we just solved the problem.
There it is.
Bulletin!
Obama can raise taxes on the rich. He's free.
But here's the thing. You can... That's not going to get these guys off the hook because they want... the House and Senate guys' view is that is a tax increase.
But isn't that just because they're convinced that you're going to, like... I'm trying not to use an unpalatable phrase, that you would just pillory them. Thank you.
Yeah.
But so you're saying that if candidate Romney were to come out tomorrow and say, you know, I've been listening to this debate, and I'm a serious business guy, you know, I know how to read a balance sheet, and so here's the deal. We're, in fact, going to have to let, in order to get our country on the sustainable fiscal path, we are going to have to let all the Bush tax cuts lapse, and people like me call you up and, you know, toss you what we think is going to be a softball and say, Grover, would you like to denounce him for violating the pledge?
I would denounce him as a tax increaser and a bad guy. It would not technically violate the pledge.
The ethanol.
There's a difference, but it would be a very bad thing to do. Mm-hmm. It would raise taxes from where they are today. Mm-hmm. Would it technically violate the pledge? No.
So, Verblen over in the Bradblog.com chat room said that Grover Norquist has already walked back those comments. He walked back those comments in the middle of the comments, right? He said, "Oh, I would decry them. I would say he's a bad guy, but it wouldn't be a broken pledge." That seems to me to be enough of a lifeline that some of these Republicans can now do it and say, "Well, let the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts expire, and I won't have broken my pledge." Right, Howie Klein?
Well, yes, they can say that, and they won't have broken the pledge, but they'll still have Grover Norquist, a very, very corrupt and deceitful individual, as an enemy, supposedly.
Yes, but he owns them.
He's caught up in the Abramoff scandal.
Yeah.
Everyone, and I mean everyone inside the Beltway, knows he's a closet case. He doesn't hide it from the village. They see him walking around with his boyfriend all the time. But no one ever talks about that in the media. Never.
Okay, hang on a second, Howie, because I got to take a quick break here. We're going to come back and take some calls from Ray, who's been hanging on. Thanks, Ray, because he's mad at Grover Norquist, and we will find out why. We'll also talk to Mark in San Francisco about Norquist. We're speaking with Howie Klein, who has just gone and outed poor Grover Norquist.
Everyone knows.
They do? They do now, Howie.
We're in Washington.
Thanks to you. Yeah, well, we're not in Washington, Howie, so Way to go.
We've got the information that the insiders have.
Well, here's the thing. He's my boyfriend. So now you've outed me, too. Howie Klein from DownWithTyranny.com. Your call's coming up right after this break. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. Stay tuned. To the Mike Malloy Show, Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. You have come to the right place. I'm speaking with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com. I have just a few minutes left here. We're going to be joined by Eric Bollert at the top of the next hour. So let me get, we were talking about the phony debt ceiling crisis where the Republicans are holding everybody hostage for no good reason. And Grover Norquist, who seems to have released people from the pledge a little bit, his anti-tax pledge, by saying that letting the tax cuts expire, the Bush tax cuts expire, would not be a violation of that pledge. And Ray in Galleon, Ohio, has some thoughts on that. Hey, Ray, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hello, Mike.
No, this is Brad, Brad Friedman. Mike Malloy is off, but that's okay.
Hi, I'm Brad.
Hey.
All right. Well, I have one question real quick for you. Who elected? What's his name?
I don't know, Ray.
Grover Norquist.
Well,
who elected Grover?
Norquist. Norquist.
Yeah.
Norquist.
Nobody. Nobody elected him.
What state does he represent?
No state at all.
State of insanity.
There you go.
No. He does. He does represent every state with a Republican and a Tea Party representative.
That's right. That's right.
That is who he represents.
Well, that's who he thinks he represents, but
that's who he represents.
Yeah. Okay.
And what is he representing?
I don't know. You tell me, Ray. What's he representing? Okay. Oh, okay. Did you get it? All right. Let's go to Mark in. Let me go. Here we go. Mark in San Francisco. Welcome to the Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
Well, Grover Norquist.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, he's the big problem in this country. He will not raise taxes or allow anybody in the Republican Party to raise taxes. He wants to squeeze the middle class till there's no more of it.
He has,
I don't know who's funding him, what companies are funding him, or what corporations. But we need to go after those corporations that are behind this, because this guy needs to be marginalized. And apparently, our president doesn't have enough guts to stop him. And if we don't stop him, we're all going to go right down the sewer.
He can't be. Thanks for the call, Mark. And I'm up against the clock, so I don't mean to cut you off. But he can't be stopped. Look, he's got a principle that he believes in. And these congressmen and senators and so forth were dumb enough to sign the pledge. I don't think there's anything wrong, frankly, with what he's doing. This is something that he believes in. What ticks me off is the idiots who would sign into this to the point that they would hold this country hostage because they've signed some pledge written by some jackass. Do I have it wrong, Howie Klein? Should I be angry?
Exactly right. And if you recall, last month, Tom Colburn, who's not even a conservative, he's a reactionary, basically told Grover Norquist to shove it, and said that but then he got scared and backed away. But he seemed that he was going to lead the Senate Republicans away from this pledge, and then got scared.
Well, yeah, they are scared to death of him. And what he loves to, Grover Norquist, you know, loves to point back to a George Bush Sr. who had signed the pledge and then he ended up raising taxes. And, oh, look what we did to George Bush Sr. I mean, you know, it's like parading around with a, you know, a head on a pike, you know, and a threat. If you do this, we will do the same thing to you. What the hell are these Congress people signing a pledge, promising their fealty to Grover Norquist and his pledge rather than their fealty to defending the Constitution and this nation? It is unbelievable to me, but that's what they have done.
Norquist was complicit in stealing millions of dollars from American Indian tribes, along with Jack Abramoff. And when the Republicans had a chance to throw him in jail, or yeah, to at least put him on trial, and probably throw, if they wanted, they could have made sure he wound up in jail just by following the evidence. They let him off. They let him go, and now they're reaping what they sowed.
Well, yeah, and you know what? And if he did a crime, he committed a crime, he should be thrown in jail. If he has a point of view that he doesn't think taxes should be raised, I have no problem with him.
That's not why he should be in jail.
No.
He should be in jail because he was a criminal.
Yeah. Well, but he's got these people by the short hairs, and they are still in his thrall, and they're willing to take the country down with it. It's absolutely remarkable. Hey, Howie, thanks for jumping in here with me today. We may be talking before this is all over some more. Really appreciate it, my friend.
My pleasure. I had a good time. I wanted to talk about a couple of congressional races, but we'll do that next time.
We will do it next time. I promise you. Thanks, man. Really appreciate it. Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com. Eric Bullert is coming up next from Media Matters. We're going to talk Murdocalypse and maybe some James O'Keefe. Sorry. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. It is 6 minutes after the hour, so yes, you are late. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Brad of bradblog.com, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow from bradblog.com, broadcasting from the left coast here for Mike as he travels to Seattle to the Progressive Voices Forum, where he'll be over the weekend for you lucky folks up there in Seattle. And so I will be with you today, tomorrow, Monday, and then Mike will be back soon enough. Until then, you got me. We also have Eric Bullert coming up very momentarily, but a bit of breaking news here that the U.S. military is now prepared to end Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They will certify that decision, and then I believe there are some 60 days before gays will finally be allowed to serve their country openly in the military, which frankly is great news. Rights win again, and if I was gay, I would sign right up for the Army. But I'm not, so I'm staying out. Let me think. The bradblog.com chat room is open and lively. A lot of folks over there, so go on over to bradblog.com. Find your way into the chat room and say hello. Nobody there bites unless you want them to. And I will try to get to more of your calls shortly. But first, the Murdocalypse continues. Or as I like to call it, Karmageddon. And to that end, I am joined by the senior fellow at Media Matters for America, Eric Bullert, the only man to talk to, frankly, about this particular, this growing hacking scandal in the world of Murdoch and maybe even Fox News. Hey, Eric, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, how are you?
I'm good. I'm a little mad, actually. A big exclusive that I have. I have 5,000 words, worked on until 3 a.m., and I saved over it and lost the whole damn thing. So other than that, I'm great, Eric. By the way, you will enjoy this exclusive when it comes out. That's all I can say.
It's looking forward to it.
A series of you'll enjoy it. All right. So Eric, who has been arrested or fired today in the News Corp growing hacking scandal? Anybody or have we had a respite for 24 hours?
Nobody arrested, but that's not true.
Yeah.
I think there was an editor at the Sun. Because you remember, this was all supposed to be just news of the world. This was Rupert Murdoch's very sort of down-market tabloid. They do those things. The Sun is supposed to be sort of a step up in terms of the credibility and things like that. But I know there was a report today that one of its former editors was – I shouldn't go on the radio and say I think, but I think was arrested or resigned. But again, that shows that it's creeping beyond just that one tabloid. Look, it's been creeping for weeks. It's so far beyond that one tabloid. But there are people in the News Corp world who are still trying to suggest, it was just this dirty little tabloid. The larger problem is this corporate, this culture of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
And the Murdoch ethos, the business ethos is there are no rules. Or the only rules that matter are the ones we decide we're going to acknowledge while we steamroll over people. So it's the hacking at the tabloid and lots of other newspapers, I think, over there. It's allegations of anti-competitive practices in the United States. And we know what Fox News does editorially. That to me represents a culture of corruption, a culture where you don't have to be held responsible and you're acknowledged to do sort of nasty and hateful things. So Carmageddon is a pretty good one. This is all coming back to haunt a man who built a media empire on fear and on hate and smear campaigns, and now he's got to answer for a lot of that.
And lies, knowing lies.
Yeah. Oh,
I mean, and to that end, his testimony earlier this week, him and his son James, we're now learning that they, in fact, may not have told the truth in Parliament concerning, I'll let you fill us in here.
The former editor has stepped forward and said, James Murdoch was not accurate in his description of what happened. I think the good news for James and Rupert Murdoch is they were not under oath yesterday or on Tuesday. So if these contradictions come up, it's not like when you go before Congress and you can get hit with perjury charges like Haldeman and Ehrlichman, for instance.
Right. Well,
lying before Congress is a much bigger deal. They weren't under oath, so it was almost inevitable, I think, based on how sort of vague and shoddy a lot of their answers were, that people in the know were going to come forward with direct contradictions and saying, I was there, you were wrong, one of us is lying.
Actually, in the U.S. Congress, they don't have to be under oath for them to be held
in contempt, right?
In contempt. Well, I think it's a crime to lie to Congress.
That's right.
Whether you're under oath or not, they don't have the same sort of rules.
From what I understand, no.
My friend David Swanson had tweeted early on in this affair that the great thing about international conglomerates is that they actually get investigated elsewhere because we don't
right.
seem to do that here. But we do have an investigation going into, and specifically the FBI is investigating this matter. Are they, to your knowledge, Eric Bowler, are they looking at whether this same sort of practices occurred in this country, or are they looking at whether this falls under the Corrupt Foreign Practices Act?
I think right now the FBI, from what indications we have, is looking at the allegation made in the British press that there was some phone hacking going on 9/11, trying to get the final desperate calls or voice emails from 9/11 victims, which is obviously rather ghoulish scenario. They're looking into that. From what I understand, and what Media Matters thinks should happen, is the Department of Justice should be looking into the allegation that News Corp employees were involved in bribery. Let's not forget, News Corp is an American-based company, and it's answerable to American laws, and the laws are quite clear on the books about employees bribing officials to gain information or to gain a competitive advantage. You could certainly argue, as Elliot Spitzer and others in the law have, that this is applicable to what's going on with the phone hacking. Another interesting development, though, is, David Carr in the New York Times wrote about this on Monday, and other people have been writing about this, is this lawsuit that News Corp has, this News America, which is sort of in the coupon business. They had a really nasty fight with a startup in New Jersey called Floor Graphics, who they allege that News Corp employees had hacked into their computer, had gone through confiscated passwords, looked into the computer, got competitive advantage, et cetera, et cetera. In 2009 trial, News Corp essentially admitted that someone with their company hacked into their hacked into these computers. Now today, Michael Iskoff reported that prosecutors have now gone back and they're in contact with this company that settled with News Corp in 2005. But again, you know, the News Corp spin is, British tabloid. We would never do that here. Well, you know, News Corp and this News America have paid out almost $700 million in legal fees and settlements for anti-competitive practices in the last few years, and a keystone allegation was hacking into their competitors' computers. So they do that kind of stuff here.
Is there any company that you can think of, Eric Bollert, who rivals the amount of payoffs that this seems like this company has made? And I mean, I'll go all the way to Bill O'Reilly and the millions that he had to pay off for his sexual harassment suit or whatever it was. Nobody else rivals that, do they? And
no, I can't think of, and certainly not quote unquote a news organization. I mean, can you imagine if NBC was writing hundreds of millions of dollars worth of checks because portions of their company were run as a criminal enterprise. News companies, no, I can't even think of, any other types of corporations. And I certainly, if you add up the last two Democratic administrations, for instance, who's had more people arrested and arrested under scandals, News Corp or the Clinton and Obama administration?
Right.
I think it's News Corp at this point.
Well, yeah, at this point, and that was just in the past week.
Yeah,
$655 million is the number that I think Think Progress pegged it at today of the amount of money that News Corp has had to pay to make embarrassing charges of corporate espionage and anti-competitive behavior go away.
In the United States. That's not a British thing. That's a United States thing.
Oh, that's only. Oh, really? That's only in U.S.
Yeah.
Oh man. Compared to that corruption over at Acorn, and that's nothing. Eric Bollert from MediaMatters.com joins me here. We're going to take a quick break. Come back and talk about more on this growing hacking scandal, and maybe, as I say, my apologies in advance. Some stuff on this this liar who's just getting sad, really. This whole James O'Keefe guy, at this point, is just getting sad. He's got a series of new videos out, and what do you know? They're deceptively edited. He did us the favor, however, this time of releasing the raw footage in advance this time or at the same time. And so you can see right before your face how he deceptively edited his latest lies. We'll talk about that with Eric in a moment. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Please do stay with us.
Make my final stand. Hey, it's why they call me bad company, and I can deny it.
Okay, let's play one more. Fox is on the run. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy, speaking with the Eric Bollert of MediaMatters.org. Fox is on the run indeed, and that's what we're talking about. News Corp and the latest scandal that they're hoping like hell goes away. And before we talk briefly about this James O'Keefe nonsense, does that seem to be the strategy at this point? Just everybody hang on for your life and hope this entire mess blows over and doesn't actually, you know, move into the U.S. and Fox News? Do they have any other strategy, Eric?
No, I think that's basically it. I mean, I think they feel like this is basically a British story, and that's certainly what they've been pushing it. I mean, the Wall Street Journal, I mean, it's just been hysterical. They've run seven columns this week, all defending Murdoch, all lashing out at his critics, and there was this great, you know, one of the guys who wrote the column did this interview on WallStreetJournal.com, and he bragged about how everyone at the Wall Street Journal has complete editorial freedom to write whatever they want about the Murdoch scandal, and what a coincidence! All seven of them decided to defend Murdoch. That's journalism freedom at its best.
Yes. No surprise, and of course, you know, they lash out at critics who are enjoying this too much, and that may be you, Eric Bollert, may be enjoying this. I may be enjoying this, but that doesn't really take away from the fact that they seem to have broken some very serious laws, whether you and I are enjoying it or not.
Yeah, I mean, people enjoy, you know, if you go back 30 years, people enjoyed the Nixon's resignation. It wasn't their fault. There's a great parallel between Nixon and Murdoch and you know, the penchant for sort of petty crimes and secrecy and enemies list and cover-ups and all that. But when Nixon started to go, it was, you know, he was in free fall. There was nothing he could do to change the story. He had run out of allies. He couldn't throw any more people overboard. And Murdoch was sort of perilously close. He's not going to be voted out of office by his investors. He owns so much of that company. But he was just in complete – he remains, I think, in complete free-fall mode. He can't change the dynamics of this story because the crimes and the cover-up are in place. You can't go back in time and undo either one. So he, you know, for supposedly having being able to get himself out of any kind of perilous situation, whether it was dead in the 90s or whatever, all of that seems to have faded away. And we saw on Tuesday really just sort of a sad, confused man trying to answer very basic questions.
Yeah, Rupert Magoo is somebody was calling him on Twitter. We've got just a minute or two left here. And by the way, we'll get to your calls if you want to get in, 877-520-1150 after the break, once I finish up here with Eric. But, Eric, did you get a chance to sit through this latest series of O'Keefe stings, this Medicaid sting where they catch these low-level people once again doing absolutely nothing?
Nothing wrong. No, and this proves your point, though, because it's been such a crazy week, and we always have to figure out, you know, what are we going to focus on?
Right.
And this story went from zero to nowhere so quickly, I never really felt like I even had to watch the videos. And that just sort of emphasizes the point you made, in that this, he's got no bullets left in this gun, and these videos, nobody cares, and they're all phony, and they're all a fraud, and this story went nowhere.
It really didn't.
To the point where I didn't even feel like I had to look at it and see how phony it was.
No, yeah, it's nobody cares, and maybe after I come back from the break, yeah, go ahead.
Which is good.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, and this is what I've always said, because I don't, you know, I've never given a damn, frankly, about O'Keefe or Breitbart. What I care about is the fact that the media falls for the scam,
right. And
then, you know, people get hurt. And I think they're... finally, with the exception of the right wingers, they seem to finally be waking up, at least a little, because they didn't pay any attention to this one.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is the point: is to take these people out of the mainstream and to by showcasing their sort of chronic. Their chronic behavior is so the next time and the next time and the next time people realize this guy's not really a straight shooter.
And
so then he's just preaching to a tiny, tiny audience.
And, you know, and by the way, I have nothing against citizen journalism.
Right, it's great.
And even from the right, but be honest about it.
Right.
And he never has been.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. Eric Bullard, you are honest, sir. So I thank you. Always great to talk to you, my friend.
All right,
really
I'll
appreciate
talk to you
it.
Soon.
All right, brother. Eric Bullard from MediaMatters.org. When we come back, your calls and some other stuff that's on my mind, maybe 877-520-1150. Get in now. The only good thing about staying up last night until 3 a.m. working on this series of exclusive stories, the second part of which I managed to overwrite and kill entirely, 5,000 words that I have to start from scratch. The only thing good about staying up till 3 a.m. was I got to see the space shuttle land. The last space shuttle land last night around 3 a.m. Pacific time. As this program, this manned space program in the U.S. comes to an end. Wrong stuff. Amazing. We'll talk about that a little bit more straight ahead in the Green News Report, which I will have coming up momentarily. If you'd like to get in to the show, anything on your mind at 877-520-1150. I'd love to hear from you, 877-520-1150. Just to give you a quick idea before we went to the break there, when I was speaking with Eric Bullard about this latest O'Keefe scheme, for those who aren't familiar with it, because happily the media seems to be largely ignoring it. It's a series of, once again, these videotapes where he goes in, dresses up as some, you know, idiot. Although now he has other people dress up because he thinks people recognize him. So but one example here in Charleston, South Carolina, a man goes into a public assistance office, tells them he's a member of the IRA. He actually says the Irish Republican Army, I think, and it's unclear whether the woman who waits on him even knows what the hell he's talking about and what the IRA is. And he asks to help 25 fellow Irishmen who are in a hospital who need Medicaid. He says they were shot up in a battle in Belfast or something like that. And what O'Keefe has now done since folks like myself and Bollert have helped to expose just how he deceptively edits these videotapes, how he did it with the Acorn tapes to scam the country and destroy a great four-decade-old community organization in that case, you know, because he would not release the raw video. Now he's releasing the raw video with these new tapes. What he does is he plays his deceptively edited part first, and then he follows it with the raw tape. And so, you know, it appears to show this woman helping him fill out paperwork or giving him the paperwork to apply for Medicaid. You know, despite the fact, I guess, that he's with the IRA or something, you know, I'm not even clear what O'Keefe is suggesting this guy was supposed to do, or that this woman who was waiting on him was supposed to do. You know, go run out and call the police. Hey, I got someone here who says he has worked with the IRA, or I don't even know. Call Peter King, who supports the IRA or something, Congressman Peter King. Anyway, so we see then when he, on the same YouTube tape, first they play the deceptively edited part at the front of the tape, and then they play the raw tape of the full interview. And one of the things that you see is, you know, this guy is saying, oh, please don't tell anybody about this because I don't want anyone to know what I do for a living because I'm Irish and I help the IRA or something like that. And the woman says, well, don't worry, I'm not going to tell anybody. I can't. It's against the federal law. And that part somehow didn't make its way into the deceptively edited beginning. But here's what, you know, here's exactly what she says, why she cannot no matter what this guy tells her, she, by law, can't do anything with that information. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have that? I tricked you there, Tone. Once again, there we go.
I'm to put my name on here and say, yeah, I'm giving these guys cash just so they can get by and recover from their injuries.
We don't, like I said, somebody would have to come here and subpoena our information in order for us to divulge any information.
Okay.
Because there's something called the Health Insurance Accountability and Portability Act that went into, or Portability and Accountability Act, I think that's wrong. Anyway, it went into effect several years ago, and that's what we follow.
Okay.
Okay. So it is federal law. They do threaten with high fines, which they don't pay me as much per year as they threaten to fine me. So it is definitely not in my own best interest to divulge anything to anyone because I could not afford it. I do not want to go to jail, so I don't know.
I don't want to go to jail either, so I don't want anybody to know what my business is.
Well, your business. The only information that I will request is whatever information is needed to process the application.
All she needs is the information to process the application. He's got to fill out the application. He's got to say who he is. He's got to be investigated to get his Medicaid and so forth. And no matter what it is he does for a living, she can't, do anything about it because that is federal law. And she will be fined or go to jail if she does anything other than help that person who has asked for Medicaid or to be able to fill out a Medicaid form. Somehow or another, that information didn't make its way into the edited version of James O'Keefe's latest hoax tape, which makes it look like, Medicaid fraud going on, and this woman is behind it, and she's trying to facilitate this terrorist, and the entire thing is a joke. So anyway, James, thank you for including the raw video there. I hope you continue to do that in the future. I even hope more so that you try to use your genius for good instead of evil. That would be nice. And I don't care, by the way, as I said to Eric, I don't care if you're a right winger. Sure, there's a lot of corruption on every side of the political aisle that needs to be outed. It just doesn't need to be made up. It doesn't need to be phony. And that's what you do, James. You're a liar. You are also a federal criminal, and when you run out there and tell people that, no, we didn't tamper with phones, well, actually, yes, you did. You tampered with phones in Senator Mary Landrieu's office. You were not charged for it because you were able to talk, had a superstar lawyer who was able to talk that felony down to a misdemeanor. But you still did it, pal. Brother. 877-520-1150. We got a lot of folks online here. Let me get to a call or two here. Who has been hanging on for a while? Steve in Burbank. Hey, Steve, what's on your mind? Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, Brad. Thank you, nice man.
Thank you.
Well, through the radio speakers today in my delivery truck, I heard something along the lines that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is going to try and negate the Corrupt Foreign Practices Act.
Yeah.
And whilst I was waiting on the line, I also thought about this guy, Grover Norquist.
Yeah.
And maybe Norquist is going to try and help out Rupert Murdoch. You know, maybe Norquist is going to put the pressure on congresspeople and whatnot to try and get this act, tampered down or negated.
Well, you know what? I don't think Norquist is going to do that. I mean, Norquist is pretty clear about what his interest is. He has a pledge. He makes these people sign this anti-tax pledge. And if they don't, he hopes the American people will hold them accountable for raising taxes or removing a subsidy and vote them out of office. That's what he does. On the other hand, you're right. Fox News reportedly gave $1 million to my friends at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce to work towards repealing the Corrupt Foreign Practices Act, which says that if you're a U.S. company and you are found guilty essentially of a crime overseas, bribing officials and so forth, that you can therefore be held accountable under the FCPA here. federal law in this country and face fines and so forth. And for some reason, Fox News has an interest in doing away with the Corrupt Foreign Practices Act. So, and they're working with the evil U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the group who wants to target, who has plotted to target folks like me with smear and disinfo campaigns and James O'Keefe-like terrorist tactics. But so that's where we are. Hey, hey, thanks, Steve. Good to hear. By the way, what do you deliver? What's your delivery truck? What do you deliver, Steve?
Well, I like to say I deliver Tinker Toys to help maintain the Tinker Toys, because I look at us as being like toddlers in the playpen. You know, we play with our toys, you know.
But you don't really deliver Tinker Toys, do you?
Well, it's car parts for cars.
Okay, all right.
And we don't really need it, you know. We play with our Tinker Toys, and the power establishment lets us have our lollipops.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Chamber of Commerce, there's also the perception, I guess it's involved with perception management, is that a vast majority of the American public believes that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is a department of the federal government.
I know.
Which it isn't. It's a bunch of privateers.
Yeah, it's a bunch of privateers and, frankly, mafia hoods and the way they behave. I wrote about it for American Trial Magazine. I told the story. It might be on newsstands. I think you got American Trial Lawyer. That's right. It was for Trial Lawyer magazine. You can go to triallawyer.com. I think you can read my story over there called La Chamber Nostra, explaining what it is and how they tried to target me and my family as loyal Malloy, Mike Malloy listeners will know, because we learned about it while I was on the air some months ago. Hey, thanks, Steve.
One more thing, if you don't mind, my son. I'm
sure.
Sorry.
Quite all right.
Eric Bullard.
Yeah.
He cannot say things that I can say. And what I say is this. The Rupert Murdoch organization is a fascist propaganda machine. Now, he can't say that and get away with it, but I can. So I just thought I'd like to throw that out there just for the fun of it.
Thank you, sir. And actually, if you read Eric Bullard, he talks about them being at least a propaganda machine all the time. I don't know if he uses the F word or not. But thanks, Steve. I appreciate the call. Always good to hear from you, my friend.
Good.
All right. Let me get to, do I have time? Yeah, before a quick, maybe we should just get, you know what? Let's get to a quick break and we'll come back. Murdoch, Desi writes, should be investigated just to look into the ClimateGate hack, which at this point, by the way, you remember when they hacked all of those, emails from the climate scientists? And of course, as usual, they turned out to show absolutely nothing, but the, Fox, right wingers pretend as if it did, as if it was a scandal, as if there was something that was revealed by these emails, and there wasn't. We don't know who hacked those emails. We still don't know. But Fox sure did enjoy that little hack, didn't they? Some investigation might be a good thing. And to look into that, I'd like an answer there. Certainly Fox knows how to hack, don't they? They are hacks. More right after this. Cocaine, Casey Jones, you better watch your speed. Trouble ahead, trouble behind. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We will get to your calls in the next hour. A lot of people hanging on the lines, 877-520-1150. But I want to play today's Green News Report with myself and the lovely Desi Doyen. If you don't get it on your progressive radio station, call them and demand it and ask for it, or stop by greennews.bradblog.com. Here is today's Green News Report.
It's Thursday, July 21, 2011.
Deadly heat wave in the Midwest.
I counted and I came up with 34 states affected by some type of heat-related warning, watch, or advisory.
Deadly famine in Somalia.
This assessment highlights the shocking severity of the crisis.
More jobs in clean energy than in oil and gas. Meet America's newest oil spill, now in Alaska. Plus,
landing here down and locked.
It's the end of the line for the space shuttle program. Can America still do big things?
Probably not. I'm Brad Friedman of bradblog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
And they're playing games with us on this heat wave. Again, the heat index, manufactured by the government, to tell you what it feels like.
The heat index is a government conspiracy. Oh, Rush Limbaugh, no snarky comment needed. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Des, the heat wave across most of the nation is little more than a government conspiracy, according to Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah, you know, and the sad thing is, it is not a laughing matter at all. 22 people have died so far in this prolonged, intense heat wave smothering the Midwest. It's breaking records for both temperature and duration and straining the nation's aging power grid as people crank up their air conditioners. Breaking the record for all-time highest energy usage in one day on the Midwest Regional Electrical Grid on Wednesday. Dangerously high heat indexes are forecast as this heat wave expands to the East Coast throughout the weekend. Heat indexes are a combination of temperature and humidity that meteorologists use to determine how hot it feels. One Minnesota town reached an unofficial record heat index of 134 degrees.
Yeah, but it's summer. This is what happens in summer, Des.
This is unusual, and climate scientists predict more frequent and intense and extreme heat waves just like this one. And what if the folks at Fox News, who love to pretend that snowstorms refute climate science, have to say about this summer's record heat wave? On a much more serious note, the United Nations has officially declared a famine in Somalia for the first time in 20 years. In a press conference on Wednesday, the top UN official for humanitarian aid called for emergency funds immediately.
$300 million is needed to address the famine in the next 2 months. This is a rough estimate, and the number will probably increase as the number of people in need rises.
The declaration of famine is a technical and legal designation after certain thresholds of malnutrition and mortality are crossed. Over 11 million people in Somalia are at risk, including one-third of the country's children. The death toll is feared to be in the tens of thousands after a years-long failure of seasonal rains has caused massive crop failures amid the worst drought in 60 years. Food aid agencies are warning that radical groups now controlling Somalia are also preventing the distribution of aid.
Are those bothering to report on the Somalia famine actually tying it back to global warming and the fact that it seems to have led to crop failure here?
Not really. You really only hear it from the aid agencies and climate scientists.
Oh, well, who listens to them?
Feeling nostalgic for the BP oil disaster in the Gulf of Mexico?
I know I am.
That dominated headlines this time last year? Oh, miss it no more. BP's once again delivered more oil to a region than it ever wanted. A BP pipeline in Alaska ruptured during maintenance testing this week, spilling an estimated 4,000 gallons of oil and methanol on the fragile Arctic tundra.
Thanks for the memories, BP.
More Americans are now employed in clean energy jobs than in oil and gas jobs, so says a new analysis from the Brookings Institution, a liberal-leaning think tank. Clean energy jobs include renewable energy industries, but also jobs in public mass transit, environmental management, battery and smart grid technology, and pollution mitigation.
It's also worth noting here that the U.S. now officially gets more energy from renewable sources than it does from nuclear power.
Yep.
Main gear touchdown, nose gear touchdown.
Thank you, Columbia, Challenger, Discovery, Endeavor, and our ship Atlantis. Thank you for protecting us and bringing this program to such a fitting end.
It's the end of the line for the space shuttle. The space shuttle Atlantis safely landed for the final time Thursday morning, bringing an end to the 30-year space shuttle program and an effective end to the U.S. manned spaceflight program. U.S. astronauts and satellite companies will now have to hitch a ride with Russia into space, and Russia has already raised their ticket prices. NASA's manned spaceflight program inspired generations of American schoolchildren, but we are now dropping to 27th and 28th in the world on math and science, with few choosing to enter science and engineering careers just as we need to meet the 21st century challenges of energy and climate change.
That's what we call the wrong stuff. For all of those stories and those we didn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com, where you can also help us stay on your mainstream public airwaves with a donation. Your sponsorship is always appreciated. From bradblog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Indeed. Brad in for Malloy. Your phone calls coming up right after this. 877-520-1150. For the whole hour. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow, and guy who never, never deceptively edits anything. Unlike that, we don't have to. When you got the truth on your side, when you have Veritas on your side, you don't have to make crap up. Yes, it's I, Brad from bradblog.com, in for Mike, who is winging his way towards Seattle. For you lucky folks out there, well, you're lucky. Well, I was going to say you're not that lucky because it's cold. But given what's going on in the rest of the country and the heat index, as you know, a government conspiracy tells us, Rush Limbaugh tells us. You're a lot cooler up there in Seattle. I think it's barely a summer up there, isn't
it? Yeah,
I
think there was a meteorologist up in Seattle who said that they've had all of 78 minutes of summer this year.
Yeah. Well, sorry, Seattle. On the other hand, Mike Malloy is coming your way to warm you right up. Because he's Mr. Warmth, they call him in a lot of places, Mike Malloy. But you didn't know that.
Yeah, he's a real warm guy.
You didn't know that.
No, actually, he is a very nice man. Very nice person.
Oh, you don't have to say that.
Like, am I ruining his cred?
Well, it's not like you're on Fox News. You know, when the name Rupert Murdoch comes up, they call him Mr. Murdoch. And, so you don't have to do that here.
Okay.
All right. That's Desi Doyen. I asked her to come in, my producer here and my co-host and the managing editor of the Green News Report, which we played just before the top of the hour there. If you missed it, go to greennews.bradblog.com and give it a listen after we are done. But I brought you in because we wanted to get someone from NASA in today. And what did she tell you? That everybody had been up for like 48 hours?
Yes,
with the
everyone
landing
had been up for 48 hours straight and that they would love to. And it's just that they basically are all about as
dropping.
Worn out as they could possibly be.
Yeah. And what about Miles? Did you hear
Miles O'Brien? We tried to talk to Miles O'Brien from CNN, formerly of CNN. He used to be their science correspondent, space correspondent. He's now in Japan, though. He's doing a long form assignment on Fukushima and the aftermath of all of that.
So where is he? Do we have him?
We do not have him either. Everybody is. He's super, super, super busy.
You are the worst producer I have ever heard. Listen, the reason I brought you in, though, in truth, and we're going to get to your phones in a second, 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. And we'll also, and there's the chat room at bradblog.com. Go say hi to For Earth, and you can talk to Desi there, too.
Yes.
But the space program, very sad about the space program. The end of, everybody says,
it's the
end of
an era.
But the end of manned space travel by the U.S.
It's the effective end. Now, they haven't completely ended all plans for manned space flight, but they have eliminated much of the funding that goes toward it. There was, when the Bush administration decided to go ahead and end the shuttle program on schedule, as scheduled back in 2004, they added a new program with NASA, the Constellation rockets, I think it is, that were going to be the next generation to go into deep space, to stop going to just low orbit, which is, you know, that the near Earth orbit,
right,
and go to deep space.
But not
manned. Then Obama administration canceled that. And then after an outcry, he said, okay, well, we can, there's another thing we can try to do. And now that's what they're working on, is to actually use robots to go out into deep space. They're going to still
robots
if you're Canadian. And they're going to still try to develop manned space flight to go to Mars eventually.
Well, yeah, I mean, these deep space probes and everything else, these are robots. And so there, we don't have, well, we don't know, because we don't have somebody from NASA here to ask, you know, do we have, is there a manned space program in development?
Yes, there still is. Yes, they still need astronauts. They still have an astronaut program. One of the things that Miles O'Brien was saying a couple of days ago was that NASA needs to put out that advertisement. We are still needing astronauts. Please still apply. It's just that without an active program, it makes it a lot harder to get people to apply.
Well, yeah, and we have the astronauts, but they're going to be going up and down on the Russian ships.
Yes, but this is also for the future.
We don't have our own program. They're talking about, well, we'll wait for the private concerns.
They're waiting for the private companies like SpaceX. Those are for low Earth, near Earth orbit, and for eventually, you know, servicing the International Space Station, which is what the Russians will be taking care of right now. But they are at NASA indeed still going forward with manned space flight for deep space.
Yeah.
That's something that is going to be very long-term in the future, but it's on the plans are on the books, but there are no deadlines or goals.
I'm not happy about
it. There was only 5 years, I think, between the end of the Apollo program and the end of the Apollo program and the beginning of the space shuttle program. So we have 5 years. The clock is ticking.
What happens if there's an emergency? I mean, we used to be able to set up at the International Space Station.
It's my understanding that the Soyuz rockets are very reliable. They don't have to worry about that, and that will be the way that they would rescue people.
Russian technology, very reliable, nothing to worry about.
Well, you know, they're much better now.
Okay.
That's what my understanding is. Okay. Obviously, I am not an astronaut.
Yeah, well, yes, you are. You're my astronaut. Okay, thank you, Desi Doyen. Good
thank
job.
Thank you.
All right, now get out there and answer those phones, because they're ringing off the hook. As a matter of fact, I can't even answer them because the screen's gone dark, because you're not out there to move the mouse.
Oh, boy. Away. Thanks, bye.
All right, see ya. Actually, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to randomly choose someone from the phone. I have the monitoring screen is out, and so whoever it is, you'll have to identify yourself. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, madam or sir.
This is Steve from Berkeley.
Well done, Steve, and welcome to the show. How are you, brother? What's on your mind?
Good, Brett. I'm talking about Murdoch.
Ah, yes.
Has every American lost his testicles?
Yes.
Or backbone? Because shouldn't he be brought before a grand jury on an inquiry about why are all these whistleblowers busting your organization winding up dead?
Well, okay, to be fair here, not all these whistleblowers. One whistleblower, and yes, he was the key whistleblower, and he was found dead. Steve Hoare was his name. He used to work with the News of the World. He was found dead on Monday night in his London flat, the main whistleblower in the News of the World thing. Now, it needs to be investigated. The police have said as much. Interestingly, the same police also said, we are investigating it because it's unexplained. However, we don't believe it is suspicious. Mind you, hang on, Steve. Those police who say it is not suspicious are also, this is the same police department that has so far had, two different folks resign from Scotland Yard because they're implicated in this scandal as well for having been bribed by News of the World and News Corp or News International and so forth. So take that with a grain of salt. Anyway, one whistleblower. Yeah.
Okay, what I want to point out is bring people up to speed. The military runs the whole media.
They do?
He knows where all the skeletons are buried. Murdoch knows where all the skeletons are buried, but the rest of the government and England and all the government stuff going on over there, he knows where all the skeletons are buried. I think he's having these witnesses killed to terrorize the world, like, screw you, I'm the Wizard of Oz, I'll get away with it because I control you.
Well,
I think it's sick and we better start waking up. In fact, LeninMurderTruth.com is the most ignored website in history.
Okay.
LeninMurderTruth.com.
Well, that's because you don't know the Brad blog. We are the most ignored website in history. But anyway, Steve, I appreciate it. And just to be clear, Only one person so far is dead in this News of the World hacking scandal, and whether Murdoch had anything to do with it at this point or not, we have no idea. But go check out his website and see what you can learn, and get back to us on these, your public airwaves. Let me go to Tracy in Los Angeles. Oh, is this lady cab driver?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Tracy. How are you?
I'm doing swell, sweetie, and happy belated birthday to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Isn't your birthday, because today's my birthday, and a couple of days ago was your birthday.
That's right. It is a happy birthday to you, and thank you for spending it by calling into the Mike Malloy Show. Tracy, I appreciate it. You're not driving your cab tonight, right?
Well, actually, though, I was, and I got so frustrated because every time I'm like, okay, I'm going to work tonight, even though it's my birthday, but I need to work.
Yeah.
But because my stupid iPhone kept dropping iHeartRadio, and I was becoming more and more annoyed with that situation because your show was really good today, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting aggravated because I was hearing just when it was getting really good, I would lose the signal, and I was like, I can't cuss, but this is just wrong, and so my last customer, I'm like, you know what? I went to Vegas over the weekend. I won money. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why am I working? It's my birthday. I'm going to be here talking to Brad and hanging out in the chat room with my peeps and all that.
Well, God love you, Tracy. You know, if it makes you feel any better, and stop by and say hi. Are you in the chat room there now? I've had a look
around. I just got into the chat
room. All right,
room.
Lady Cab Driver, you can go say hi to Lady Cab Driver over in the BradBlog.com chat room during the show. But if it makes you feel any better, I, too, was working on my birthday, which was, I think it was Wednesday or so. I lost track. The 19th, on that big, big exclusive story, series of exclusive stories that's still to come. And if it makes you feel any better, I was, not only was I working on my birthday, but that is the story that I have since overwritten and completely lost 5,000 words of as of today. So, see?
So, obviously, you don't listen to Stephanie Miller when she tells you to get, what is that thing she tells you to get?
Yeah, the backup, the carbonite backup. Well,
carbonite.
No, it's I didn't lose it that.
Stephanie about that.
Well, I didn't lose it that way. I have only myself to blame. I actually overwrote it. I was up until 3 a.m. and dizzy, and I actually saved on top of it. Yeah,
I've done that.
Yeah, I'm very unhappy about it. But listen, Trace, I got to run, but I really appreciate you calling, especially on your birthday, dear. Happy birthday.
It's my birthday.
It is.
Happy belated birthday to you, my love.
Thank you, dear. Really appreciate it. All right, thanks. Take care. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. More of your calls, 877-520-1150.
Não consegue compreender. Que a mente não faz questão. Nem tem...
Ground control to Major Tom. Ground control to Major Tom. Take your protein pills and put your helmet on. Ground control to Major Tom.
Welcome back. Brad of BradBlog. BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy. More of your calls straight ahead, 877-520-1150. If you'd like to get in, I'm disappointed. So far, not a single right-winger has called. I don't get it. I asked. I begged. I know. You think there was. The guy who said he was mad at Grover Norquist, he wasn't. He wasn't a right-winger. So now's your chance to get in, right-wingers. Tell me why the Republicans should hold the country hostage through their terrorist-like tactics. Love to hear from you. You go to the straight to the head of the line if you call, because as we all know, folks on the right are special and better, and they deserve to go straight to the top. So 877-520-1150. Let's see. Brad Blog alum David Edwards, writing over at Raw Story, says, dissatisfaction and anger with the federal government is nothing new. But now even Almighty God is having a tough time getting support from the public. A recently released survey by Public Policy Polling found that only 52% of American voters approve of God's performance. This is for real. This is not an Onion story. While while 9% disapprove. So let's see, 52% approve of God's performance, 9% disapprove, and 40% are just not sure. Among very liberal respondents, 19% disapproved of God's performance. Only 4% of very conservative voters had a problem with the deity. At 71%, God got his highest marks for creating the universe. Way to go, God. His handling of animals was approved by 56%, and 50% even approved of his handling of natural disasters. That's an odd number. The same polling firm recently found that 44% of Republicans thought President Barack Obama would not be taken to heaven in the rapture, while 37% were not sure. The most recent survey also determined that only 12% had a favorable opinion of News Corp CEO Rupert Murdoch. Though not the most popular figure public policy polling has polled, if God exists, voters are prepared to give it good marks. Voters approve of God's performance by 52-9 margin, making God about as popular as Murdoch is unpopular. Got it. Let's go to Richard in Middleton, New York. Hey, Richard, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. What's on your mind, brother?
Hi, Brad. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Good. Yeah, Brad, I called about this debt ceiling thing. And,
yeah.
And
this fake crisis.
The fake crisis,
yep.
Right. And how they're connecting it to the Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid and all
yeah.
that. And I'm not really sure what I want to say about it. I would just like to, you know, point out, I'm sure that your listeners are doing it anyway, but I think people should really be calling the White House, the 202 number, and also go on whitehouse.org, and just voice your opinion about it. I think that they really need to hear as much as we can get.
Yeah, make some noise, speak up. It really does matter, and I think a lot of times people wait until they're, you know, at some crisis moment where, you know, oh, we've got a call now, suddenly in a panic. You know, speak up. Tell them, you know, the hell with this. Tell them the hell with gutting Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. You know, the hell with the notion that we have a fiscal crisis. A spending crisis. We're still paying the same amount per person, per capita, for these social services that we were back in the 70s. By the time you account for inflation and so forth and the increase in the population, you know, the problem is that we have no revenue because we've given away all of the tax cuts to rich people. We've created these wars for no reason, these imaginary wars. We're spending nothing but money on military programs to defend against an imaginary enemy. You know, we've put in place like Medicare Part D under Bush, put that on the credit card. So, you know, and yet the Republicans are holding us hostage now to it. Completely phony, completely fake crisis because they don't give a damn. They don't give a damn. Actually, they do give a damn. They want this country to go, over the cliff because they think that's
Absolutely.
How they're going to get the White House back. Richard, I appreciate the call, brother. Thanks for touching base, and thanks for making noise and your good point over these public airwaves. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
We've got to get back into the streets.
There you
Take
go.
Care, Brad.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
Okay, more of your calls ahead, 877-520-1150. The casino who was stiffed by the Tea Party, maybe I'll tell you about that. Brad, in for Malloy. Stay with us.
I got the feeling there's something right.
No, it never is.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
I'm never scared.
And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs.
But I'm a little annoyed today.
Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Happy to be stuck in the middle with you for a few more minutes here. 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike Malloy. We'll also be with you tomorrow and Monday as Mike makes his way to the Progressive Voices Conference in Seattle. So we will be broadcasting live from the left coast here in Los Angeles. All right, your calls here. Oh, we do have a right-winger. Get to you shortly here. Dave in Humboldt. Our old friend Dave in Humboldt. Hey, Dave, thanks for holding on for such a long time there. Sorry about that, my friend.
Oh, that's all right, Brad. Despite a lot of good reasons to the contrary, many of us have hoped that Obama would be representing somewhat more of a concern for the plight of the have-nots, the poor and the mm-hmm. lower working classes, than would be the neocons. But I understand that today, if I've got this right, it was him himself that offered the idea of making cuts in Social Security. And this, despite hundreds of thousands of calls and letters to the White House and members of Congress saying Social Security is not the problem, don't be cutting Social Security, he went out and made the offer. It wasn't the Republicans asking for it today. Well, it was him making the offer.
Well, that you may have seen that reported. Both Obama and Boehner, I believe, have said that they denied any discussion, any deal about anything. So you may be right. We don't know. And there is plenty to beat up on Obama about. And people should raise hell and say, no, we don't want you to cut this perfectly solvent system, Social Security. But in fact, we don't know if, in fact, that was on the table today. But, you know, if you're concerned about it, yes, call the White House, raise holy hell.
Well, I'm certainly asking people I know. And you know, Brad, also, I'm very much concerned that it may well be that we got a choice between an Obama and some right-wing whack because of this electronic voting, and I wish we could do something about that.
Well, that's definitely going to be the choice you're going to get, whether you get the choice or whether the electronic voting machines and the photo ID restrictions rule the day. That's another matter. So, yeah, I wish we would do something about it as well. I've been raising holy hell. I brought in I was delighted to see last night Colbert did a section on the photo ID restrictions that are being put in place by these right-wingers, and maybe I'll play that on the show tomorrow night. I was happy to see that, you know, now there are a lot more people other than me yelling and screaming about these things. So that's the good news. The bad news, you know, whenever I hear people say, oh, God, I hope it's Michelle Bachmann. Oh, I hope it's Sarah Palin. She'll be so easy to beat. Be careful what you wish for. I know how these voting systems work.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Dave. Very good to hear from you. Take care, my friend. Let me get to, here we go, James in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. James, what is on your mind, sir?
Well, first thing is I've called my senators and my congressmen to tell them that they should not violate the 14th Amendment.
Yeah.
Mainly because the fifth section of the 14th Amendment says that Congress is the only one who can raise the debt limit.
Wait, so Congress is the only one who can raise the debt limit, is what you're saying?
Yeah,
this
14th
is,
Amendment.
So you're saying that you've called your senators and your congressmen and you've said, don't vote on, I don't understand. Explain your point.
Okay, when The McConnell plan came up.
Right.
The first thing that hit my mind was that the Senate is trying to give the president mm-hmm. a power that they would have to take from the House of Representatives.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, no, you can't do that.
Okay.
And my the representative that took my call at my congressman didn't even know that Congress was the only one where I can read. Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation and provisions of this article. That's the section 5.
Right.
Of
so
the
their appropriate Amendment. Their appropriate legislation could be, if they wanted it to be, that Mr. President, if you want to raise the debt limit, you go right ahead. What's unconstitutional?
That's right.
So what's wrong with that?
They shouldn't do it.
Why?
Because the debt has, under all the presidents, the starting with Reagan through the current president, what's his name? Clinton raised it the least.
Yeah.
Behind Clinton was
Reagan. So do you believe that they ought to raise the debt ceiling?
No.
Why not?
Not at all.
Why?
Because, the number one, Bush raised the budget from $1.3 trillion to $2.7, and I was upset about that. Well, Obama raised it from $2.7 to $3.7, and we've been going in debt ever since.
What, were you complaining? James, were you complaining the seven times that they raised the debt ceiling under Bush?
Yes, I was.
So you're ticked off about these Bush tax cuts. You think those should be rolled back immediately, correct?
No, the tax cuts actually didn't do anything. The tax cuts are not tax cuts. They cut them back then, and everybody keeps calling them tax cuts. They lowered the rate back in 2001 and 2003, and they just didn't hike them back up.
Right. Now, so don't you think they don't you think they should hike them back up, James?
No, because when they got hiked up during Clinton's era, when they got hiked up from 35 to 39 and were made retroactive, that's what caused me to become a Republican, because I'm like, you can't do that and tell me that.
So
you
were against that horrible, horrible fiscal economic period during the Clinton administration, right? It was terrible. Right?
No, it wasn't bad.
Oh, it was terrible.
That was a remnant of the whatchamacallit era, of the Reagan era.
Oh, really? Really?
Yes.
So the credit, the things that went well during the Clinton era was thanks to Ronald Reagan, right?
Yeah, because it freed capital.
Okay, so what went on during the Ronald Reagan era then, you're thanking Jimmy Carter for, right?
No, I wasn't really here. Actually, I was in Germany.
I see.
I don't know what life was like.
No, I know. They don't have any TVs out there, no newspapers out there. James, you can't have it always. Things went very, very well under Clinton. He reduced the deficit so that he had a surplus. Reagan blew the deficit out. Yes.
Brad,
yes.
I checked the numbers at treasurydirect.gov. to see if there was actually a reduction in the debt. Now,
No. We're talking about the deficit. James.
No, it's a deficit.
James.
The deficit. I actually checked.
There was no reduction in the deficit under Clinton.
Reduction. The lowest it was, it got reduced in Clinton's last year, 17. It increased by $17 billion. That was the lowest it ever was. I looked at it.
Well, no, I know, but there was a surplus that was predicted. That's why George W. Bush came in and said, well, now there's a surplus. We need to give him a tax break. And he gave him a tax break, and that is, by and large, the
9/11.
Huh? No. It didn't. And the Bush tax cuts are, without a doubt, the hugest part of the deficit that we now face. And if they let the Bush tax cuts expire, it would virtually wipe out the deficit. And if you care about deficit, what happened to James? Did I lose him? I hope I didn't do that. James, if... I'm sorry. You can call back if you want. We're not going to have time. So in any case, the deficit will be wiped out, essentially, if they let the Bush tax cuts expire. That is the cause of the deficit. And if you are a deficit hawk, as opposed to a pretend Fox News deficit hawk, if you really care about the deficit, then you want to roll back those Bush tax cuts, period. At least the part that are for the rich. You can't have it both ways. If you hate taxes, that's fine. But don't say, oh, I hate taxes, so I want to leave those in place, but darn this deficit, because you can't have it both ways. My apologies. I think I accidentally hung up on him. I've done that before, and it certainly was not on purpose, because I do like to hear from folks who disagree with me. So my apologies. Call back tomorrow. David up in Alaska. I'll try not to hang up on you. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. David, what is on your mind, sir?
Well, thanks, Brad. Good to be on with you. I wanted to add that... James O'Keefe's father, as far as I know, is a is a federal U.S. attorney in the Western District of Louisiana.
No, actually, it was, I know what you're referring to. That was one of his conspirators, his father, one of the guys, I think it was three of them or four of them, who were arrested down there in Senator Mary Landrieu's office, involved in a wiretap plot. And one of his conspirators, his father, was, in fact, the acting U.S. attorney from the Western District of Louisiana. You are correct. It wasn't O'Keefe. It was his conspirator.
Okay, well, that clarifies it, and also probably clarifies the young feller's lack of genetic pool.
Well, it didn't hurt, you know, to have that relationship to the U.S. attorney when you're fighting a case like this and you're trying to get off the hook. But anyway, there you go. Thanks, David. Hey, are you friends? Do you listen to my friend Shannon Moore up there on Alaska Radio?
Yeah, Shannon's a buddy. As a matter of fact, we're a pretty small population up here. We're pretty intense in the face of what's going on here with the Republicans who have taken over here by a lot of mischief. And our elected officials here figure prominently with ALEC.
Yep.
Including our governor, and there was a bill introduced this last year in the Senate or in the House, HB 110, which is trying and very, very hard to get us to relax our oil taxes for the producers in the light of the plan put in place by Palin, actually,
right.
ACES.
Mm-hmm.
They're going at this like mad dogs.
They're trying to get more money for the oil companies that Palin socialistically got for the people up there, right?
It was quite convenient,
yeah.
And a lot of us believed in her. She allied herself back in the day and got a lot of us aboard with her, and then turned into this
crazy woman. And and the notion that we need to give more of that money back to those poor oil companies, the richest corporations in the history of this planet, is absurd. Anyway, listen, I got to run, David, but great talking to you. Give my best to Shannon and to Jeannie Devon up there at Mud Flats and all of the rest of the blogger crew up there. Desi asked me, by the way, how the weather is up there. Is it still light outside at this hour?
Oh, it's totally light. We've just had gorgeous weather for the past several days.
And how long is it going to stay light until tonight?
Well, probably around 11:30, and then it'll. And this is in Prince William Sound in the South Central area. We're getting our really good kick right now.
That's so cool. I love that it stays light that late. Maybe I'll move up there, but only for a month or two a year. I got to run, David. I got to get to a break. I appreciate your call, and like I say, give them all my best. I know we got to go around because I took too long. I wanted to know about the weather in Alaska. Somewhere it's light today. Somewhere it is light at this hour. And that place is Alaska. But the sun has set on the left coast down here in Los Angeles. And we will take you into the rest of the night here after this break. More, of course, tomorrow on the Mike Malloy Show. And a couple more of your calls ahead, if I can get them in. 877-520-1150. Jim in Vegas, I know you've been holding a long time. Going to get to you. Do my best. I promise. Brad in for Malloy.
One of these days, when you hear a voice say come, we're gonna run. Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side?
My thanks tonight to my guests, Howie Klein of Down With Tyranny, to Eric Bullard of Media Matters, of course, to Desi Doyen, our producer tonight, to For Earth for helping her out, as ever, in the chat room. And, of course, to the greatest engineer in the history of the Earth, or at least the history of this room, Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. If you're listening via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned to listen to my friend Bob Kincaid on Head On with Bob Kincaid. And do I have some other business I have to do here? No, we'll be back with you tomorrow. Who are we going to have? I don't know yet. Oh, I have some ideas. But they're not confirmed. So you'll just have to tune in to find out. Let's go to Jim in Las Vegas. And, Jim, you've been holding a really long time, and I thank you for that, sir. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
No problem. It's a pleasure, Brad. But I came up with this question about how we saw basically the 30-30-30 split. And that's like, you know, 30% hardcore conservative, 30% middle of the road, undecided, and 30% liberal. Do you think there's any way we can overcome that? You know, considering that the new bill, or not bill, the new law passed by the Supreme Court, unlimited spending.
There is going to be a hell of a fight next year, and it is going to be ugly, and it is going to be out of control because of that Citizens United decision. I think, though, that these guys on the right are beginning to do themselves in. I think we'll see. But I think this misinformation can and this propaganda can only go so far. I think this whole debt ceiling thing is really exposing these guys for the terrorists that they are. You call them conservatives. They're not conservatives. They're right wingers. They're extremists. There's nothing conservative about wanting to hold your country fiscally hostage. But it's going to be a fight, and it's going to be ugly, and I think it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And that's one of the reasons I'm saying, you know what? Republicans want to do this. Do they really want to do this? Let them do it. It may take it getting just that ugly and just that bad for this country to fully see what's really going on here.
Unfortunately, I think you're right. Hopefully I'm wrong, but it might have to get a lot worse. I'm starting to
Yeah, I think it is going to get worse, and your phone's breaking up a little bit there, so I'm going to let you go, Jim. But I do appreciate your call and your holding, and that's exactly what I'm afraid of, that it's going to get much worse before it gets much better. Brother, do I have time for one more call? Let me try this. Margie in Brookings, Oregon. Hey, oh, and by the way, James from Arizona came over to the chat room and he said, no, the battery ran out on his phone. It wasn't my fault. I didn't think so. But there is a hair trigger, a hang up on this phone. So anyway, Margie, we got about 30 seconds. What's on your mind, Margie?
Well, Mike was upset about something he heard on Raw Story two nights ago about the Nazi Mengele, that he had books and that were going to be going up for auction. Mm. And I guess he wrote poetry and maybe he had a diary and whatever his collected papers were. But anyway, I had a fantasy that if I were a rich woman,
yeah,
that I would gather together remaining Holocaust victims and have a big bonfire and dance around it.
You mean burn the papers? Burn
Mingo's
papers. Okay, I got you. Well, it's a thought there. I don't know if we ought to be burning history, no matter whose history it is, no matter how ugly it is. We do need to be reminded of the disaster from whence we came and the disaster that we are likely headed towards. Thanks for spending the last few hours here with me tonight. I will be back with you tomorrow night. And keep it lit, America.